starting with verse 20. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. To take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on a new self, one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of truth. Therefore, putting away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Father, thank you for this word, and may we hear it preached, and may we realize truly, as the song says, you are worthy of all our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great. Thank you, Terry. I want to kind of build on what we've been talking about the last couple weeks, because as we left that passage in Galatians last week, there's a kind of a question that comes to mind. And we wrestled with it from the earliest days of the church, and that is, who's kind of responsible for what? It said that we are to be able to carry our own pack. Remember that in Galatians? I'm to examine my own work. I'm to shoulder my own pack. And at the same time, it says, I'm supposed to help my buddy out. That's a good army sermon as a chaplain, because everyone understands a rucksack and how heavy that can be. And while we try to hitch up our own, we try to lift up others. But who's really responsible for carrying their share of the load? And then you go to Genesis. Not only does it go to the New Testament church, it goes to Genesis chapter 4. And it's actually the first question that was asked by a human being. See, God walks in the garden and he knows that Adam and Eve have sinned. And his first question is, where are you? Did you do what I told you not to do? That's his first question. Cain asked the first question of men recorded in Scripture. Am I my brother's keeper? Is it up to me to worry about where Abel is right now? And God had something to say about that, because God knew where Abel was and Cain knew where Abel was. Am I my brother's keeper? You read a little closer into the Scripture and you get to the book of Ezekiel. And it's like we did talk about this one time in chapter 18. It says, don't give me the sour grapes parable. The fathers ate sour grapes, and so it's the children's teeth who are set on edge. In other words, don't blame me. Daddy did it. I inherited my sin, my problem, my bad temper, my propensity to do wrong. But in chapter 3, prior to that, God tells Ezekiel, you're the watchman on the wall. And if you fail to warn your brother of the danger that's coming and the enemy takes over, I will require his blood at your hands. So whose responsibility is it? Am I responsible for myself? Or is it the group that gives me an out on what God's asking of me? You look at Luke chapter 10, and the man comes to Jesus and he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, right, sure, easy. Who's my neighbor? And then came the story, the parable, the Good Samaritan. Of all the people that the Lord Jesus was asking people to love, it wasn't the people they wanted to love. then in 2 Corinthians, it's talking about we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and there's the purpose clause, so that each may be repaid for what he has done. Well, wait, we are saved by grace through faith. Yes, we are. But Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 talks about how we're saved, but verse 10 says, you are appointed unto good works to walk in them. And so there's a responsibility to be obedient to the difference that the Lord Jesus makes in our lives. So today I have a very unpopular topic. It's not very trendy. If you listen to the news driving in, we do catch the 8 o'clock top of the hour thing. And I just tell you today, the whole tone of the NPR newscast was, it's the government's fault. Everybody's to be taken care of by the government and not anybody else. And I go, really, isn't that interesting? Because the Bible says we're responsible and we carry our own pack, and yet we ought to care for one another. The government can be a vehicle for that. Praise the Lord. God uses authority that he ordains. But if we only wait on one of the things that God has ordained, we're all in trouble, because the church is who Jesus died for, and our $1,000 was every bit as important and direct to the point of need as what all of the promises that come out of those that we elect to office. So I want to talk about responsibility today. I want to ask the question, whose responsibility is it? Dictionary.com gave us that great definition there, the state or fact of being responsible. Boy, that's helpful. Answerable, accountable for something within one's power, control, or management. That is the key part right there. If God has given you the ability and the assignment to do something with it, you're responsible. It's within our power, it's in our control, it's in our management. Now, there are some things that we take responsibility for that really aren't our problem. We care about them, but it's not in our sphere of influence. There's nothing we can do. You can do something about it, and you don't do something about it. There's the difference. Ezekiel, the watchman on the wall, if you fail to warn, And the army comes, I hold them on your hand. But if you warn them and they don't heed your warning, their blood's on their own head. So there is this balance of all that's going on in Scripture about you better take care of your own business, and you better do it in such a way that you've got something to share with other people, because we are members of one another. We are accountable to one another. God sets up authority structures in our lives, and it does matter that we yield and submit to those things that are within our power and within our control. If we have what is good and we withhold from him in need, 1 John says, how does the love of Christ abide in you? Raising the question, does it? So as a Christian, a responsibility to put on the new self that Terry read about in that verse 20, there ought to be a difference in our lives because we claim to follow Jesus Christ. And that difference I find so interesting in this passage. How do you tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? Number one, by their mouth. We're supposed to put away lying, or exaggeration, or image building. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, it's already said. And here it says it again, verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, speak truth, each one to his own neighbor. There should be no foul language that comes out of our mouth. There shouldn't be shouting or just trying to assert our own authority at the expense of God's authority. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what profanity is. That's what cussing is. Profane the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is high and holy. The name of the Lord is the name by which we might be saved. The name of the Lord is the way we pray, because we are asking God to be involved. And when we take that which is high and holy and we treat it as though it is coarse and lowly and something disgusting, that is to profane the name of the Lord. The second way is that we're supposed to have emotional control. It's not that we don't ever get angry. It's that we get angry but don't sin. We get angry about the right thing, for the right reason, at the right time. Jesus was angry a couple times. One of them we talked about was at Lazarus's grave. He was hurting. And he finally said, this was not God's plan for us. And I believe that's why he wept. Emotional control. No malice. We shouldn't walk around thinking evil of other people because they don't think like we do. We should not hide or harbor malice in our heart and put on a good front. There ought to be a difference, an authenticity about us, a Christ-likeness about us, because the Jesus who lives in us is working his life out through us. And every time we fail that, we give the devil an opportunity. So responsibility, my goodness. I love the way the guy hyphenated that word. Response, hyphen, ability. The ability to respond. You and I don't live in Louisiana, but we took responsibility to care for our neighbor because we had the ability to respond with some financial resources that they need right now. Way to go. Good thing. We took responsibility. I love the guy who was a job applicant, and the new boss said, hey, do you think you are a responsible person? I can trust you with things. And the applicant says, you bet. Anytime anything went wrong at my former job, I was responsible. Not quite what I'm after here. So my outline for the heart of the message, I think it's our next slide here, is it's just two simple phrases. Whose responsibility is it? It's my responsibility to take care of, and it's my responsibility to take care of you. Wait, didn't you just spend comparing, contrasting? What are you going at? Well, we are going to look at especially verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he's to do honest work with his own hands, so that he has something to share with anyone in need. You and I have one priest in our life, one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. If we go down the street to another church, that church has a priest, an intermediary between you and the things of God. And they do rituals, they do liturgy, they do things, but the idea of that is he does it for you on your behalf. What makes Baptists unique is, well, not only Baptists, but the Protestant tradition. What makes us unique is that we believe we are competent, capable, responsible to stand before God and give an account of ourselves. In other words, I'm happy to pray for you, but this is one brother praying for a brother or a sister. My prayers are no more significant than your prayers. You pray in the name of Jesus just like I do. In fact, the New Testament teaches if there's power in corporate prayer, it's from all of us uniting our hearts together. All of us agreeing on what the next step in the will of God is for a person's life. But it's not that you call Brother Gary and he does hocus pocus and it all just works out fine. That's not Christianity. We believe the ability of the soul to God and be accountable to him. It also means then I better determine my relationship with Jesus Christ. I better know that I know that I know I'm saved. Because there's no ritual after the fact in front of the casket down here that alters my eternal destiny. I was responsible to God to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and to let him fill my life and use my life in such a way. I'm responsible to take care of me. And along with that evangelistic emphasis is the responsibility of the Great Commission. I'm responsible to encourage you, to lead by example, to pray for you, to help you come to that understanding where you know you too need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. We are free to combine our resources, our opportunities, and our choices to produce the desired results. Thank God we live in America and we could say, our church wants to give to a hurricane, an earthquake, and a refugee crisis. Praise the Lord we get to do that. Do you realize we'd be responsible before God if we did not? So the freedom of choice that comes our way is balanced by the responsibility that we will be accountable to God for the choices that we make. Which takes a whole lot of fun out of silly living. Because every time you go mess around and pretend like it doesn't matter, reality comes around and says, oh, yes, it does. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of God to give an account for the deeds we've done in our flesh. Wow. Okay, so I better take care of me. And I better do what I can to take care of you. Which is what makes verse 28 so interesting to me. We're gonna preach about thieves today. Is it right or wrong to steal? Wrong. Should we hold thieves accountable for their actions? I don't know about you, but I was tickled pink when they finally caught the guy going to all the charitable places in Springfield and cutting off the catalytic converters. I went, way to go, law enforcement, gotcha, because it's wrong what that man was doing. Do you think God coddles sin in any form? Let the thief who stole steal no more, right? Okay, so it's always wrong to steal. It doesn't matter if it's a pencil, it doesn't matter if it's $1 million. You should respect the property of other people. It's yours to take care of you. Get your own pencil. Get a job where you don't have to go vandalize somebody else's car. Huh? I know I'm being weird here, I guess. But let the thief who stole no longer steal. But ladies and gentlemen, it isn't just the thief. What did Jesus say to the woman taken in adultery? Go and what? It's wrong. Stop doing what's wrong. You are responsible to do what's right. And who makes those choices? Who put the gun to the guy's head that said, now you go steal a catalytic converter or else... Nobody. He made that moral choice. And we always get to choose to be obedient or to be disobedient. So Paul is telling this thief at Ephesus, stop sinning. Go to work. Let him who stole steal no more. But what? Instead, he's to do honest work with his own hands. What's the opposite of stealing? Oh, let him work with his own hands so that he has something to share. Does that sound like give? With those who are in need. You know, when you're acting like a thief, you are using your hands to take what your hands did not create and bring it for yourself. But do you realize that God is saying if Jesus Christ lives in us and you are responsible for your own life. You choose the right thing. You use your hands to create not only the opposite of thieving is creating value. And you're to create enough value in your own life that you have enough to give and share with other people. Is that a Jesus kind of difference in a man's life or not? Amen. It ought to be, right? And I believe it's about more than money. I think that God has called us to a responsible life where, man, I hate when I'm preaching to myself. You got to control your tongue. You got to control your anger. You can't blame daddy and say, well, it just runs in the family. We all have a short fuse. No, you have a responsibility under the Holy Spirit's power to manage yourself. Let him who swore, swear no more. Instead, what should happen? What should come out of your mouth? There ought to be enough grace and enough blessing and enough wonderful things that come out of your mouth. Instead of being known for cursing, you ought to be known for speaking grace. Let him who lied no more. But out of his heart should come enough truth that you are known for character and integrity. Let that person who commits adultery commit adultery no more. What do? You follow Jesus to the point where you go and build a godly home that becomes a witness and an example for other generations of what a committed sexual and marriage relationship looks like. That's the Jesus who changes us. And I think about that and I go, wow. Our world doesn't do that. Our world says to the TV, you teach me. Do you feel the community is controlling the standards that are on the TV in your living room? Or is someone else putting all the garbage on TV into your home? We say to the schools, I want you to raise and educate my children. Whose job is that? I don't say we don't need schools. But teacher does not equal mama or dad. We say to the church, I want you to fix my relationship with God. Sorry, I'm not a priest. You are responsible to open this book and take what is in here and put in your life. We say to the government, I want you to solve my problems and pay my bills and give me a retirement. How responsible is that? We are in the middle of all of that right now going on with, oh my goodness, the government aid is going to end. Well, the ladies and gentlemen who built America didn't have that kind of help. And somehow they did it anyway, right? If they could do it, why can't we? We say to our doctors, keep me healthy. It is not the doctor's job to keep you healthy. The docs I talk to say, we can't get people to take the medicine we prescribe. Take your medicine. Grandma was right. I tell everybody, it's the only medical advice I can give. Eat your vegetables. Let's go there, okay? Is your body working? It's not going to last forever. But are you doing what you can do with what you got? I'm preaching to me here. You know why? It was so wonderful to have the grandkids here. I read more Sesame stories and Little Critter stories and everything, but it kind of got a little personal when the 3-year-old got into my lap and said, gee, Papa, your tummy's full. Let's just read the book, honey, okay? Let's just read the book. Hey, the only guy responsible for my tummy is me. I hate that. Yeah. But God trusts me to be responsible with this earth suit, to use it as a temple for His glory and His honor. And I'm not just failing Susan and my family if I don't take care of myself. I am failing the Lord. It matters. It's not popular. It's easy to say, you fix it. But then, having grown, having gone forward, having learned some stewardship in my life, we have the opportunity then to give back to someone else. And so you're getting the principle I'm making. It's on the screen here. Let him who, whatever they did, be they the thief, be they the full tummy guy, be they the potty mouth, be they the unethical person, whatever they're doing, when they know it's wrong, don't do it wrong anymore. Stop it. Well, I can't. Yes, you can. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, self-control. I didn't say it was easy. I said it's possible. Instead, we're to do the opposite to the extent that we have a surplus built up. And then we become known for the very opposite of what we used to do, for what we used to be. That is a life that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a life of repentance. That is the balance of whose responsibility is it? It's mine. It's mine to take care of me, and it's my privilege to let the Lord Jesus work in my life in such a way that it might influence and impact and help you. Is that not a fulfilling life? Is that not loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as we love ourselves? I can't share what I don't have. I can't love my neighbor if I don't love myself. I can't bear your burden if I can't carry my own. I can't be a healer for you if I am unhealthy. I can't clothe the naked, feed the hungry, and warm those who are cold if I don't have clothes, food, and heat. I can't spiritually guide you when I have not cultivated my own spiritual life. I can't give you what I don't have, no matter how much I want to. If I fail to take care of myself, I can't care for anybody else. And if I'm not doing that, I'm not obeying the Lord. Paul is asking the people at Ephesus, hey, Jesus came in you, and you're to put off that old thing. And you're to put on. In fact, in Colossians, the phrase is like, putting on new clothes. Take off the old dirty stuff. Put on the new stuff. Let Jesus ooze out of your life by the way you talk, the way you live, the way you're in emotional control, the way you don't have to be perfect, but you got to be looking up. You got to be enough of a vessel that the life of the Lord Jesus comes through. Godliness is not just having stuff. Godliness is having enough to give, to bless the other people that God has put in your life. So I have a few helpful suggestions or unhelpful suggestions. If we could go to the next slide. And we're going to say it like this. Number one, put your own gas mask on first. Yeah, I always tell you this on the airplane. The fancy little thing will come down. If you don't put your oxygen mask on first, you'll pass out, and then everybody's in a world of hurt. So take care of yourself first. God is asking to take care of us. So here's Army acronyms. HYM stands for hush your mouth. You know the biggest problem we got? And I say we collectively, I'm not looking at anybody here, and I'm not meaning just us, but America today, the biggest, you go home and listen to the news tonight, and it's all about me telling how other people, I think other people ought to live. And the problem with that is we are pointing at everybody else as though we have no responsibility. But we do. So before we say anything, Grandma was right, hush your mouth. And then MYOB, or TCB if you were into the Rolling Stones. Mind your own business. Before you dare pull the speck out of your brother's eye, what did Jesus tell us to do? Timber surgery at the ophthalmologist. Take the log out of your own eye. So number one, be quiet. Number two, look in the mirror. Number three, make deposits, not withdrawals, in the emotional bank account. And what I mean by that is every time we're together and we interact, if I do something negative, I take a withdrawal out of your view of me. If I do something kind, or I speak a good word, or I acknowledge something, I bless you. I make a deposit in your life. And if we as Christians cared more about blessing the people who are different from us, rather than letting them know how wrong they are, our witness would go a lot farther and be a lot stronger. Next suggestion up here on the slide is, go to authority. Yeah, appeal to those in authority. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't like everything our government says or does. But God holds me accountable to be under authority. I didn't like every commander I had in the military, but it wasn't about the guy, it was about the position that he held. If you can't respect the person, you better still respect the position. Paul got slapped in the book of Acts, and he called the guy a whitewashed sepulcher, which is kind of like saying your mother wears funny shoes, you know? And somebody said, how dare you talk to the high priest like that? And Paul said, oh, I'm sorry, I did not realize he was the high priest. He still had no right to strike me, but I had no right to disrespect the position that God had created. Respect authority. Pray for their roles. It is a hard day to be a public leader at any level. Push. That's my acronym, pray until something happens. Oh, we're to pray for those in authority over us. Really? Are we faithful in that? Are we quick to criticize? Do we talk to everybody else about them, or do we talk to God about them? We ought to pray until something happens. Speak the truth in love. Give an honest assessment always. Don't ever lie. But then sometimes we're to yield and obey and submit to those who are in leadership over us. Thirdly, next slide here is the yield, use our capacity, our surplus for what is good. And I think the reality is John Maxwell walked around and he said, you know, in the church, everybody carries a bucket of water and a bucket of gasoline. And a little spark of controversy comes up. Which bucket are you going to pour on that spark? If you pour a bucket of water on the spark, what happens? Psst, it's gone. But if you pour gasoline on that spark, what happens? Foom. We can use the surplus. Now look, hey, I know. Some of you are a lot smarter than me. I know some of you are a lot wiser than me. You have that capacity. You have that ability to shape and guide and mold. Are you going to use that in a godly way? Or are you going to use that to just bleh all over people? And it is in this very passage that Paul tells us, do not grieve God's Holy Spirit. He sealed you unto redemption. He's given you that ability to transform your life with Jesus in your heart. Don't waste that. Don't use that in a way that causes pain to the heart of God. Instead, give the grace that you want given to you. None of us are perfect yet. None of us are all there. None of us have it totally under control. But we're growing and we're learning. And we may have been the thief who had to learn to work with his hand, but now we've got something to share. It isn't this thing we'll ever do, but it's what I got to give you right now. Let's bless one another with the gifts. This is truly transformational living. It is Jesus in our heart being worked out into our lives, where we take off the old and we put on the new. You with me? God's people said, pray. Lord Jesus, we really do want to live a long to know where the boundary line is sometimes of us in such a compulsive way that we get weird or caring about other people to the point that we neglect ourselves. We need the Spirit to give us balance and guidance in each and every moment. Lord, we can take the principles of this message and apply them to everything. And we cause a lot of controversy because we see differently. I understand that. And God, every perspective, I believe, does matter. But I pray that we would take Paul's advice, that first be responsible for ourselves and have enough character, grace, compassion, resources, that out of the overflow and the surplus of your blessing upon our lives, we can tolerate somebody different from us. We can encourage somebody we don't fully agree with. We can help another along, knowing, Lord, that you will us all to perfect unity one day. It may not be down here, but one day we're all going to see you as you are. We're all going to see life as it is. We're all going to acknowledge truth as you have revealed it, without the fog and the smear on our lenses and the distortions that come from sin. Help us with that. Walk with us in that. Give us the courage to look in the mirror first and then around our brother and our sister and say, let's walk together for Jesus' sake. Give us the ability to pray. We continue to use our feelings of responsibility for the time that we share together, for the voluntary things that we do to make ministry happen here. Lord, we just ask you to prompt each one. And God, you have been so sufficient. Thank you for the good hearts that are among us. Thank you for the love of Jesus that does shine through. We look forward to walking together many days in your love and in your grace. Lord, help us be kind to one another, forgiving one another, because we all need it, just as you, for Christ's sake, have forgave us. Guide our day as we go from here. Thank you so much. Thank you for each one here today. Bless them, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Good enough. All right. Little twist. 92 among us here today. You matched the number that was at fifth quarter. Everybody stand up slowly. Two-handed wave. So good to see everybody. Now take that hand.